Could AI help you do more of what you love? Workday is the next-gen ERP powered by AI that actually knows your business. We help you handle the have-to-dos so you can focus on the can't-wait-to-dos. It's a new Workday.
Hey, what's up, snackers? Welcome to another snack-size episode of your favorite show, How Success Happens. I'm your host, Dan Bova, writer and editor at entrepreneur.com. Hey, do you remember how freaking good it felt when the world opened back up and we could leave our freaking houses again? I'm talking about that little thing called a pandemic. The first show I went to was John Mulaney, and man, it was so damn great. I laughed, I cried, I was confused standing less than 6 feet from a stranger, but it was magic. Now, if you remember, the live events biz was put on its deathbed during that terrible time, but it bounced back massively in the post-pandemic years. But now it's facing new challenges, mostly the challenge of rising costs. I connected with Laura Kirby, who is the president and founder of Fest Forums, which is a B2B conference for the festival industry in North America. And she told me that the live events and festival biz is still attracting big crowds, but competition has increased, expenses have increased, and the cost for talent has not decreased. So that's not a wonderful formula for anyone throwing a festival. Now, I bring all this up because at this year's Fest Forums, which will be held February 11th to the 13th in Santa Barbara, California, which I'm guessing is a little bit warmer than it is here in New York right now, and at the festival, they are honoring a guy who has figured out how to manage all these kinds of problems for decades. Kevin Lyman is the founder of the iconic Vans Warped Tour, which started back in 1995. So I attended a few Warped Tour stops in my day, and I am refusing to do the math and calculate how many years ago 1995 was. What was that, like five or so years ago? Anyway, the Vans Warped Tour featured up-and-comers that you may have heard of, like Eminem, Katy Perry, Green Day, No Doubt, and of course, Limp Bizkit, who, as you all know, did it all for the Nookie. So I got to ask Kevin a bunch of questions about how he launched and grew this thing and about the shortly insane goings-on backstage in the early days and even the later days. But before we get to all of that, here's Lori talking about why Fest Forums decided to honor him this year.
First, let me say that Kevin Lyman is not only a genius at organizing festivals and large events, but also a very kind individual. And I think one reason why Warped Tour became iconic is because Kevin has built it around community before that was sort of the catchword. It's a traveling culture. And for a generation of young people, Warped was their very first festival, their first sense of belonging to something bigger than themselves. And here we are 30 years later, Warped still impacting young people in the very same way.
Okay, so now on to Kevin. I asked him to describe what the early days of the Warped Tour were like, if there was a moment that sort of stood out in his mind. And he described a moment that isn't so much about sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and more about how the sausage, literally in this case, how the sausage gets made. Oh, and in this clip, there's a guest appearance by an airplane flying overhead, so you can enjoy that.
We showed up in Boulder, Colorado, and it was on the intramural fields. And the promoter, I don't know, kind of thought he canceled the show, but he sent a couple interns out to help us. I don't know. It was really confusing. But we decided to just set up ourselves and around door time, I looked around and there was no concession stands. So we ran out to Home Depot and bought some barbecues and hot dogs and sodas, and we were selling them to the kids for a dollar a piece. And then after the show, the actual promoter called me and was yelling at me for wasting his money, and it was what a dumb show the Warped Tour was, and all I could do was thank him for letting us make a bonus that day by selling hot dogs and sodas for a dollar each. I thanked him for the $2,000 bonus. He screamed a little more, and we actually amounted to something one day.
So as I said, the Warped Tour helped launch so many massive careers, and I wondered if there was any artist whose work ethic really stood out to him in a good way or a not-so-good way.
I think what comes to mind is at the end of each summer that we did a thing called Summer Superlatives. It was like best hairdo, best dressed, hardest working, laziest. And what I heard all of a sudden that a young artist that had been with us named Katy Perry was getting the laziest of the summer. And I went over to her bus and said, hey, Katy, they say you're going to be the laziest person out here this summer, knowing that she was getting up at 6 a.m. and going to radio stations. She was working at night doing press and everything. And I had asked everyone, well, why are you voting Katy Perry the laziest on the tour? They said, because she didn't go to enough parties. So when I told Katy that, she came out, went big one night. But she was the hardest working person out there and came, learned a lot about being a live act out on our tour, and says it to this day that it helped shape her career.
The Vans Warped Tour had incredible growth and sustained success, but nothing is guaranteed. You don't know when you're starting something if this is all going to work. So I asked Kevin if there was a moment he remembers feeling like, hey, this is all coming together.
I think it's absolutely the first day. It was very, you know, we were known as a punk rock tour, and we brought a climbing wall with us. And a climbing wall, it was a giant house. It was this big contraption we built and took everyone to put up. And we opened doors the first day, and a young boy ran up, and he had a mohawk. I'll never forget the look on his face. And he said, how much? And I looked at him, and I said, free. And he kind of looked at me like, and I said, wow, I was thinking that, is everything now going to cost more? Is that what how people view things? Now, the guy who was running the wall looked at me and thought I was crazy for doing it for free. But that's where I really started looking at Warped. It's like we had to introduce new things to Warped, and this fan had an open mind to it. And that later included the brands, the bands, the nonprofit areas that were so popular and important to our culture. Warped became a giant classroom for many.
Okay, so the Vans Warped Tour had this punk rock, middle finger to the establishment vibe. And I wondered, was that a challenge with corporate sponsors who just didn't get what you were trying to do?
I think it was really kind of evolved. And really, it wasn't, we didn't really have any that didn't get it. Sometimes they had to be educated. Sometimes it was maybe they sent the wrong activation out or the wrong people representing the brand. Because, you know, punk was always about skepticism, and we were kind of out there. And I remember Sony sent reps out in golf shirts, and everyone was looking at them like, you know, they didn't, like, almost like they were radioactive wearing a golf shirt at a punk rock festival. And I always said to all my students, I said, you have to know the crowd. You know, if you're going to wear a golf shirt, the only thing you should be wearing a golf shirt is asking for the first tee or where the 19th hole is. You've got to work with the brands. I mean, we worked with people like Kia. We worked with Samsung. We were always able to integrate them. And that's where we got into our band integration with the brands. The bands became ambassadors for them out on the road, which helped build a rapport amongst us all. I think we even with the movie Superbad, it was Jonah Hill. No one knew who he was when they sent him out on the road. So we attached a band of mice and men to sign autographs with him. And within a week, he was one of the biggest stars in the country at that point. So we always worked hard with the brands. One way we had to figure out how to integrate a brand that maybe wasn't going to be acceptable into the Warped culture was when we were approached by Target at one point. And I actually convinced them, we were the first people to actually convince them to remove the Target name from the bullseye. And I can talk to them about how the bullseye was related to the mod movement and how it would be accepted by our fans. And it was a cool relationship. We put the bullseye up on a tent, and we actually get credit for actually getting them to remove Target for the first time from the bullseye. And that's become quite an iconic logo.
Icons making icons. Beautiful. So, as I said, Kevin is being honored at Fest Forums, which is being held February 11th to the 13th in Santa Barbara, California. And I'm sure he'll have some more amazing things to say. And speaking of people who have amazing things to say, let's read a comment. Listener AA plus Purplest 4R, that rolls off the tongue, left us a short comment. It's short, but I think it really says everything that needs to be said. Quote, awesome podcast, close quote. Thanks for that, AA plus Purplest 4R. You can leave us a comment or please write to me at howsuccesshappens@entrepreneur.com. And here's your prompt. I want you to tell me something you want to do better, and I'll go and find an expert guest to give you the advice you need to up your game. Because trust me, you don't want any advice directly from me. Okay, that's it. Thanks for listening. See you next time.